Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com. And on today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the best romantic comedies of 2024. Again, my name is Ben. I'm going to be joined on this episode by Slash Film editors Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
Brad Oman.
Hey, that's me.
BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
Writer and box office analyst Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
And we also have one of our newer writers joining us on the podcast for the first time, Nina Starner. Welcome, Nina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, so Jacob, why don't you set the stage for this discussion about 2024's best rom-coms?
Yeah, if you didn't listen to yesterday's episode about the scariest horror films of the year, this is a reminder of what we're doing. Essentially, we're showing our homework. We're showing how the sausage gets made. These are the kind of conversations that the team would be having, you know, on calls or on Slack or just in various ways as we develop our end of year lists and articles. And this year we figured, why not just record it all? Why not just let you all hear how this all comes together? Like, we're showing our homework. So what you're going to hear is the creation of our actual list. It'll be live on the site by the time you hear this. So this will be more about, you know, the process of how we developed, you know, these 10 titles. And as Ben said, we are covering the best romantic comedies of 2024, which is an interesting thing to talk about in 2024 because, as Ben and I were discussing before the show, this is a weird and potentially and possibly bad year for rom-coms. They're looking at the list. I'm going to paraphrase Ben. There are only five films here that can, maybe five-ish movies on this list, on our list of nominees, that probably qualify as a traditional definition of what a romantic comedy is. So the thing I want to propose as you go into our conversation here, before I start handing the reins off to other folks, is do we want to use this conversation as a chance to redefine what a rom-com can be or to double down on how 2024 just was lacking in rom-coms? Because there are some titles on this list that are very far astray from the traditional definition of what we'd call romantic comedy, but I think could be a cousin, maybe not the same ballpark, but, you know, in the parking lot of the ballpark. Nina, you're on this podcast for a reason. And one of the reasons is I would like you to define, in your words, as a professional pop culture aficionado, what is a rom-com?
Great. Put me on the spot right away. I love it. If you think about like the most traditional rom-com of all time, if I say romantic comedy, you probably think of something like When Harry Met Sally. You have a story that builds to a romantic point. The couple usually has a breakup or a problem in the third act, and then they get back together right at the end of the movie. I think it's been a while since we've seen like a really great big studio rom-com. I incorrectly thought that Anyone But You came out this year because I think its box office bled a little bit into 2024. But yeah, I think we haven't really seen something that skews that close to the traditional rom-com model of Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, While You Were Sleeping, 27 Dresses, kind of the staples that we know of.
So my question to you is, as somebody who is a rom-com expert, mm-hmm. Are you ready to maybe use this hour or plus of conversation to look at what 2024 does offer and see if we can fit the round peg in the square hole or maybe even like try to redefine the parameters of what a rom-com are? Or are we fighting a dumb battle here just to make a fun list?
I think maybe we're doing some redefinition here because I'm looking at this list and I'm seeing, I mean, I have been seeing a clip from, can I start naming movies on the list? Is that,
are we? I'll read the whole list right now in alphabetical
order.
Okay,
great.
There are 14 on our list, which means that 10 of them will make the cut and 4 will get cut. So in alphabetical order: Anora, Babes, Cora Bora, Deadpool and Wolverine, The Fall Guy, Fly Me to the Moon, Hitman, Hot Frosty, The Idea of You, Lisa Frankenstein, My Old Ass, Sweethearts, Twisters, and Your Monster. Nina, the floor is yours. What are you going to say?
Well, so seeing Anora on this list, I mean, heavy on the com, maybe not so much on the rom on that one, which, so I love that. But Hitman is maybe the closest to a traditional rom-com in my mind on this list. And it's definitely my favorite of the year, kind of without any competition. But then you have stuff like The Fall Guy and Twisters, which are not direct rom-coms, but have a huge rom-com through line running through them. So I think it's really a great opportunity to be like, yes, we know what the exact kind of three-act structure of a traditional rom-com is, but why don't we push those limits? Because The Fall Guy certainly is a rom-com because the Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt have great chemistry, and the movie is just as much about their relationship as it is the action set piece of the whole framework of they're making an action movie. But like, I think this is a really fun opportunity to be like, how can we push the rom-com genre further? But also, it's a bad year for rom-coms, so I think there's a lot going on here.
All right, well, let's get started then. If you had to pick one from this list that you say is 100% lock, must be on our top 10, is Hitman your number one choice?
Hitman's by far my number one choice.
All right, give us the elevator pitch for why this is a lock for you.
Glenn Powell and Adria Arjona have, speaking of chemistry, amazing chemistry. I love that the story is focused around this real guy whose life is completely insane, but then it brings in that relationship as like this really strong narrative. The Notes app scene is one of the best things I've seen on my screen all year. I think without Glenn Powell and Adria Arjona like centering this movie and having their relationship be the backbone of it, it just wouldn't be as good.
All right. Well, like I said, there are some movies on this list I feel like they are slam dunks already. And I think any rom-com list without Hitman would be incomplete. Is anyone here anti-Hitman? Does anyone here like look at this movie and say, nah, we can't have this on the list?
I mean, I'll fight someone if they want to.
Hitman's delightful. I this is one I didn't figure anyone was going to get any pushback for. I don't know. I think it's Richard Linklater's best movie in quite a long time. For me, this is a slam dunk.
I would agree with that, actually.
BJ, are you anti-Hitman or are you just stirring shit?
Oh, no, I'm very pro-Hitman. I was offering to fight somebody who didn't want Hitman on here.
All right. Oh, I think Hitman's on the list. I think there are some ones here that I'm saving my energy for two particular weird fights that I think we're going to have. But next in the rotation, just going down my order of looking at the Zencaster page, Ben, you know, I said earlier, you're not a fan of this list. So I'm very curious to see what you think should be on this list. Like, well, if you had to pick one, what would you pick?
Yeah, I just like, I don't know. I appreciate Nina being willing to go with you on this whole like recontextualization of the genre thing. I just find myself, I feel like I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to this. And I just feel like a lot of these movies just straight up should not be in contention for a list like this. But, you know, in the spirit of, creating content, capital C content, I'll play along here. And I'll say, I think The Fall Guy is my favorite on this list. And I think Nina kind of hinted at the chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt really being a big part of the reason, but also, yeah, the importance of that romance to the story, the fact that there actually are a lot of jokes in the movie. So it sort of satisfies the calm component that we're looking for here. I just had a blast with this one. And I think it was, really, really fun to watch, which is always something that the best romantic comedies give me that feeling. So I would say The Fall Guy would be my number one choice.
Look, I was all over the trailers and posters for this movie for my review. And I'm on the record as being The Fall Guy's number one fan, and I'm heartbroken it wasn't a huge hit. But yeah, I think this movie really is more of a rom-com with action scenes than it is an action scene with romantic elements, because the structure is so satisfyingly familiar. Like, it's Notting Hill with explosions in a lot of ways. I really, really kind of love The Fall Guy on this list. Ryan, I think you were a little cooler on this one, but do you still think it qualifies for this?
Oh no, I love The Fall Guy. Let me be very clear. I think you just liked it a little more than I, like, you were super, super high on it when we saw it at South by Southwest, but having seen it a couple times, I truly love it. And I actually agree with you that it is more of a romantic comedy, like masquerading as a blockbuster. And I actually think that was one of my issues with it. And that's also partially because of my other hat here, which is Box Office Man and Wet Blanket Extraordinaire. But like, part of the issue was that, you know, I felt this movie was way too expensive for what it was trying to be. And I think that if you were to sacrifice something, you maybe scale back some of those set pieces to focus on, I think, what is the strength of this movie, which for the purpose of this list is the romantic comedy element. The action is perfectly good and fine, but that is in support of the insane chemistry of these two lead people. I am fully in favor of this being on the list.
I'm waiting for Brad to chime in on something. Brad, are you pro Fall Guy? I can't remember.
I am 100% full on in support of Fall Guy. I think Fall Guy is fantastic from a romance perspective and an action perspective. And I think it does hold up the ideals of what we expect a rom-com to be. And it just so happens to be injected with a ton of cool action and stunts. And Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt have incredible chemistry. They're fun. They're funny. And it was clear that they had a really good time making the movie. And it's just, it's full of such authentic energy that, like, yeah, I can't imagine Fall Guy not being on this list.
All right. Is anyone here anti-Fall Guy? I'm waiting for, like, BJ, are you threatening Fall Guy now?
No, I'm very pro Fall Guy. I'm pro Fall Guy and pro Hitman. I just want to fight people, and I'm holding it in.
So we're a pro Fall Guy podcast. It makes me feel good. I like that we're all being very nice to each other, because I think we're going to be talking a little bloody in like round two of this conversation.
Yeah, if history has taught us anything, it's that BJ is going to get really upset with me over something I say here very shortly.
So. This is fantastic. I love mess. Let's go.
All right, so Fall Guy's locked in the list. Ryan, you're actually up next. Of the remaining movies, what must be on this list?
All right, I am prepared to go bloody knuckles down for this, and I don't know what the temperature of the room is on this movie, because I saw it, I think, before anybody else at Slash Film did, and I wrote our review for it, but The Idea of You is not just one of the best movies. I know I have to admit I have not seen every single thing on this list. However, of the things that I've seen on this list, I would perhaps boldly say that it is the best movie that I have seen of everything on this list. I absolutely love this movie. I went into it with very little expectations. I thought, okay, Amazon made a cute rom-com where Anne Hathaway dates a younger guy. It is so much more than that. It is so expertly crafted. It could have been some cornball thing, and it just wasn't. Stellar performances, truly deeply emotionally resonant, very much something that you don't see every day from the genre, or many movies for that matter, where you have like an, I don't know, I was so charmed and won over by this movie. I cried, like, I love this movie. And I can go a little more into detail, but I really do sort of, I don't know if this one I have to fight for, or is this one that people are in support of. I genuinely do not know.
This is Michael Showalter, and Michael Showalter makes good movies, and it's really, really hard for me to look at this movie and say, this is the most traditional rom-com on this list. It has to be here. It's, I really, like, Brian, you have my sword here.
Yeah, you're not going to catch any hands from me either. I love The Idea of You. I think it's really funny that we also saw, like, the Nicole Kidman dating an older... I mean, we haven't seen Baby Girl yet, but the Netflix one, A Family Affair, did not hit the same notes as The Idea of You, which is a far superior version of a very similar story. No, I thought Anne Hathaway was great. I love Nicholas Galitzine. I've loved him since Red, White, and Royal Blue, and I loved him in Bottoms. I really can't wait to see what he does next. But yeah, you're not catching any heat from me on this one. I'm in full support, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of what Nina said. The Idea of You was really phenomenal. And I watched it, I think, like within 48 hours of watching A Family Affair. And it was just kind of like whiplash. As much as I love the performances in A Family Affair, I didn't even nominate it for this list because I think as a movie, it's not as strong as it could be. And it really does just get completely washed away by The Idea of You, which is genuinely great.
Yeah, this is my biggest personal surprise of the year. Nothing caught me off guard like this did. You know, I like rom-coms and stuff, but I think one of the things in the spirit of what we're having to do with this list this year, in that it was, as discussed, a somewhat weak year for your traditional rom-com. This is, on the one hand, pretty close to a traditional rom-com. At the same time, it does do something different with an incredibly well-trodden genre. It feels very modern in that way. It feels very real in that way. And I think, you know, in the spirit of this list, it very much fits the mold. So, you know, that's the last I'll say about it. It doesn't sound like I'm getting a lot of pushback, but
Well, just to add on to that really quickly, it's also like, the sexiest movie, I think, on this list. Like, it's genuinely, like, a pretty steamy movie. And I think you can't, you know, leave that out of the rom-com conversation. This is, like, a definitely an adult film. Don't let your kids watch it. But it's certainly the sexiest movie on this list, in my opinion.
Well, I guess my question, though, is, BJ, why isn't Baby Girl on this? You've seen Baby Girl. That's a nice, gentle rom-com full of laughs, right?
That's the reason it's not on the list, because it is not a comedy at all. It is a romantic drama, capital D.
I'm messing. It sounds like the idea of you is on this list. But BJ, you actually are next. What is your choice, and why is it Lisa Frankenstein?
So here's what's super funny is that's going to be my second one. The one that I'm fighting for the hardest is a movie that I think I might be one of the only people who has seen. Maybe Nina has seen this one, but it's Cora Bora. Cora Bora is, in my opinion, a movie that is signaling what is a transition into redefining what it means to be a rom-com. Because when people think of rom-coms, yes, they do think of things like When Harry Met Sally, which is cis man, cis woman, straight, white. Like, that is what people think of with rom-coms. And I love Cora Bora because this is a progressive, messy bisexual movie. It stars Meg Stotler, I can never say her last name. People might know her from the show Hacks, but she plays a woman named Cora, who is a bisexual musician who lives in Los Angeles. She's in an open relationship with her longtime girlfriend who still lives in Portland, and she goes to surprise her to visit and then finds out that her girlfriend has a very serious partner that she like didn't realize they were like cohabitating with. And so it sends her on kind of this like messy spiral. She ends up, you know, meeting Manny Jacinto, and like they have like a cute little meet cute. But it is very much a rom-com that follows a lot of rom-com beats, but it completely subverts them because you're not dealing with like a bunch of straight people. Like, there's a great scene where she's, you know, meeting a polycule with Margaret Cho in it. And like, I love this movie. Like, it's not perfect by any means. It's, you know, definitely got some issues with it, but I loved that it was a true to form rom-com that is showing that you can still have a lot of these tropes fit into relationship structures and gender and sexuality structures that are not traditional by any stretch of the imagination. And it's also really funny because I think Meg is one of the funniest like young comedians that we have working today. She's also like not a thin person, which completely changes the perspective of like attraction politics and identity politics. Like, this was such like a breath of fresh air for me and made me very excited, because I think one of the reason rom-coms are kind of dying right now is that everybody is so afraid to make things sincere. Like, it's like we've become allergic to sincerity, and this movie understands that, but doesn't treat it as like winking at the nod of like, can you believe I like this guy? Like, it doesn't do that the way so many rom-coms are doing right now. It's like, no, this is, you know, not sincere because I'm a mess as a human being. And so it like finds this workaround of the rom-com problem we have right now. I really, really like this movie, and I want it to be on this list.
One of the things about
I have not seen it, BJ, but it's now on my watch list because you had me at Manny Jacinto, if I'm being totally honest. You got me with Meg, and then
he's
you brought me fully
so,
on board with Manny.
So charming in it too. Like, so damn cute.
I love
cute.
Him.
Yeah, one thing about these lists is I like to make sure that if one or two people are heavily on a movie that the rest of the crew hasn't seen, I want to make sure we give it time of day, because I have not seen this, but I am pretty much sold by BJ that this should be on this, probably like, you know, in the 7 to 10 spots, since it's, you know, seems like she's the only person who's seen it. But I am more than happy to put this on the list unless anybody here has any objections to it.
No, I've been meaning to watch this for a while, and I implicitly trust BJ when it comes to movies like this. And I as somebody who also loves Meg Stalter, I think that she's probably right on the money with how good it is and being a great evolution of what the romantic comedy is. So yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I think in my history on this podcast, when we do these year end things, we have a nice history of if someone hasn't seen a thing or if someone feels particularly passionate about a thing, that passion can win it over, even if the rest of the team hasn't. And I think BJ made a very strong case for this. So I am in full support.
All right. Well, Brad, of our remaining films, what are you feeling good about?
The one that I would like to make a big push for is My Old Ass. And this is a movie that hit theaters earlier this year and is available on Prime Video now. And it follows a young woman who is getting ready to graduate from high school, ready to go off to college. She's very much ready to get out into that new chapter of her life, get away from like her small town and her family and stuff like that. And Maisie Stella is the one who plays this young girl. And then when she goes on a kind of like celebratory final mushroom trip in the woods with her friends, she talks to her old herself, played by Aubrey Plaza. And she somehow is able to have her number in her phone and occasionally like texts with her and like asks questions about like her future life and stuff like that. And the only like key piece of advice that Aubrey Plaza's character, older version of Maisie Stella's character, gives her is to stay away from a guy named Chad. And of course, Maisie's character meets Chad and it's a meet cute, and there's a little bit of a romance spark there. And what I really love about this is it's such a cool, unique premise that sounds like it could be complicated, but it doesn't get bogged down with like the rules of how this works or why it's happening. And it's very much played off as like a real thing that's happening and not and like actually a mushroom trip. And so the way it plays out is really charming. It's really touching. And it's while it also fits into like that idea of like a coming of age movie, the romance that blossoms between Maisie Stella's character Elliot and Percy Hines White as Chad is really beautiful. And also where the movie ends up by the end is also really touching as well. So I'm going to make a big push for this one.
Yeah, I love this movie. And this is not a movie that I initially thought of as a rom-com because of the coming of age elements, but you're totally right. And it really is. And this movie did not get nearly the appreciation that it deserves. And I fear it's because a lot of people saw the title and were like, I don't like it. There's a swear in it. But this movie rules.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against this one. I love this movie. And I also love that this isn't really like part of the rom-com part, but I love how they don't really explain how or why this is all happening. Like, you know, how she's able to text her. Like, I liked just the suspension of disbelief without having to get into any sort of nonsense about why. I thought yes. That was really fun.
Yeah, similar to About Time. It's just like, they're allowed to do this and here's the rules and that's it.
Okay, Brad, I haven't seen this one yet, so I have a question.
Yes.
There are a few films on this list where the idea of traditional heterosexual man and woman rom-com are being challenged by us, and we'll be getting mm-hmm. some more of those momentarily. Is My Old Ass arguably a rom-com where the main relationship is a woman and her older self, essentially learning to love oneself? Is that am I getting at something there? So
that's a part of it, but it's also kind of like a story about her like discovering herself too, because the main character, Elliot, is very much bisexual because she also engages in a brief fleeting romance with a girl who works at like a nearby like dock bar. And so it's even more unique in that way too, because she's figuring out her romantic life and sorting through, you know, what she's interested in, why she likes what she likes. And by the time it gets around to the end of it, I don't necessarily want to dig into like a full spoiler, but it is also about learning to like love and accept the decisions that you've made, even if it means bringing yourself pain sometime in the future.
All right, so I'm okay with, like I said, I haven't seen this, but it sounds like there's some enthusiasm for this one. I'm okay with it being on the list, especially because, like I said, in a wacky year like this, why not highlight the movie that we're passionate about? So is anyone, any harsh objections to My Old Ass being on our list? All right, good, because it's my turn to pick, and I am going to pick one that I think will get some harsh objections. I'm going to stump for Twisters. Damn it.
Whoa!
This movie is a lot of fun, and more so than the Tornadoes. Glenn Powell and Daisy Edgar Jones, their dynamic, their enemies to lovers transformation is dynamite. Like, look, it's the shot with Glenn Powell in the white t-shirt walking through the rain drew audible gasps in the movie theater I was in.
When I saw it, the girl behind me loudly said, "To me, that's cinema." And I wish I was making that up because it's like too good, but that did really happen.
I saw it with my wife. I saw it with my sister-in-law, both of them rom-com aficionados. And our drive home conversation was not about tornadoes, not about the visual effects, not about any of the giant destruction. It was 100% about how much we were obsessed with Glenn Powell and Desi Edgar Jones' chemistry, and how it was really just a story of these two rivals becoming friends, becoming potential lovers against a backdrop of giant tornadoes. Twisters has this weird rom-com energy that powers it. More so, like, the original Twister from 1996 is a fun movie. That movie is very much a disaster movie first. Twisters is a romance first, and it has lots of silly comedy in it, and it's full of banter. And I would argue that Twisters works as well as it does because it has a rom-com beating at its heart. Mm. Now, you can now tell me why I'm crazy.
I actually agree with you here, because I think that the movie is very romance forward. And while the movie is called Twisters, and it does seem to primarily be about them achieving a similar goal of trying to get more research to predict tornadoes, I think it says something that the final shot of the movie is not anything to do with their work as far as tornadoes and stuff are concerned, like it is in Twister, where they've just achieved their thing. And sure, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt kiss, but it's more so focused on like the absolute like reaching of their goal. But this one, it takes the time to take us back to Glenn Powell and Daisy Edgar Jones in that airport, and they have that final moment. And granted, they don't share that final kiss, even though they shot it and they didn't use it in the movie.
And they should have.
Yeah, they should have. It still has that romantic spark that's there and will be lingering if they happen to do another movie. And so, yeah, I fully agree that there's, similar to The Fall Guy, the full romantic comedy formula is in place here, almost to the point where Twisters kind of feels like a big budget Hallmark movie. I think I'm on board with Jacob here.
Big budget Hallmark movie is kind of perfect in terms
There's no kiss. They don't kiss. I don't know. I like Twisters just fine and everything, but it's not, I don't think it's that romance forward. Yes, that is a thing. I love Glenn Powell. I think he's the most movie star to come around in some time. I love Daisy Edgar Jones. I don't think they had nearly as much chemistry as other movies we've already talked about, some we haven't talked about. I don't know. I really do like this movie, but I think even trying to square peg, round hole the boxes that we're having to do with this list a little bit, I really got to push back on. I mean, especially because, again, there is no kiss. There's no actual any sort of conclusion to the implied romance here. And if they had kept that kiss in at the end, I would probably be with you. But they didn't. The movie as it exists, I just can't, I can't get behind this.
All right, here's where I lay the smack down on Ryan.
Oh! And I was about to join him. You go first, BJ. I want to hear you first.
All right, let me metaphorically crack my knuckles here. All right, so in typical rom-com fashion, a lot of times we are following female protagonists pursuing men. It is not very often that it is the other way around. Twisters is a movie about a man pursuing and yearning for a woman, and that makes it a rom-com. They don't get to have the kiss. You do not need to have a physical connection, because this is a movie about yearning, and nobody looks at women with that much love in their eyes more than Glenn Powell this year. Like, that is one of the things that a lot of these romantic movies have been completely missing, is that they don't have male characters who know how to look at a woman. And I don't even like men, and I went, oh, Glenn Powell, okay, he knows how to look at a woman. And so I hate the fact that there is no kiss here. There absolutely should be. But looking at it through the lens of, this is a movie about a man pursuing another woman, and yeah, he doesn't get to get the big kiss, he doesn't get to quote unquote get the girl at the end, does not mean that it's not a rom-com, because it is about his pursuit of this romance. And like, if they do not have them as a couple in future sequels, I will set a building on fire with my mind.
I'll join you in the telepathic arson for sure. But no, I am on the, like, the whole controversy about this movie is that there was not a kiss, that they cut it, in terms of people got upset. I think there absolutely should have been a kiss. But I'm also going to say that, yes, Glenn Powell is so good at making, like, he looks at every woman he's ever interacted with like they are an angel who crash landed on Earth, and it's incredible. I think he understands the proverbial assignment in this movie, and I don't think Daisy Edgar Jones does. I think she takes everything way too seriously. She's kind of approaching it from like her dramatic background, and I that didn't work for me. So I forget who it was here said that their chemistry wasn't really there. It wasn't really there for me, but I appreciated the movie, as BJ was saying, does really lean into the female gaze of like, look at Glenn Powell, look at him wearing a hat. His shirt is wet now. Like, loved that part. 10 out of 10, 100 out of 10 even. But I do struggle to classify it as a rom-com because I'm going by the super strict kiss binary here.
Okay, how about we table twists for now? We won't lock in since there's some opposition. And I'll nominate something else. I'll nominate the other enemies to lovers romance on this movie, on this list. And that's Deadpool and Wolverine, which I think is very playfully setting up the structure of a rom-com and is the most bi-curious film of 2024. And I think there's a genuine, bizarre, romantic sexual chemistry between Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. And once again, Enemies to Lovers is in right now. And I know it's because my wife, the romance literary and movie expert, talks about it all the time. And I think we need at least one Enemies to Lovers movie on this list. If it's not Twisters, why not burn everything down and say Deadpool and Wolverine?
Well, that car scene
in a row where they should have kissed.
Yeah, that car scene is a sex scene. Like, you cannot change my mind. It is.
Yeah, I'm not even going to argue against this one. I'm sold. This is a rom-com. This is a rom-com more to me than Twisters is, and I can't even fully articulate it. But yeah, these two have crazy chemistry. I don't know what's going on with them, but
yeah, if we're going one or the other, my vote is for Deadpool and Wolverine over Twisters because yeah. And this movie also like frames men the way that rom-coms do. Like you can't watch Hugh Jackman's Wolverine suit explode off and be like, yeah, isn't this just to like show how cool he is? No, we are objectifying this man as a sex object.
Well, and if you need any more like solidification of that, they have a minor character in there whose pretty much sole purpose in both the scenes he is to get overwhelmed with how hot Hugh Jackman is. And that character is also a dude.
I am extremely pro Deadpool Wolverine as a movie. I know it was divisive on amongst slash film crew overall. The movie's a blast. I think it's so funny. And I legitimately think it follows the rom-com beats to a T. And I think that movie is very aware it's doing it. I know BJ wrote an entire article about how gay this movie is, but yeah, it would please me greatly to see Deadpool Wolverine on our rom-com list. Ryan, I know you're a big fan of this film, so I need to know, like, do you buy the rom-com read on it, or are we just thirsty about it?
I buy this a little more than I buy Twisters in some ways, because I mean, Ryan Reynolds as Wade is very like willing to be gay, you know, like any and that's pretty on Front Street. I think
canonical bisexual Deadpool,
right? I think if anything it's sort of a story of unrequited love, you know, like there's a little bit of like, you know, bromance at the end, but I don't think that there's any like romantic feelings, you know, Wolverine's way or whatever. But I mean, look, I again, I can abide the sort of interesting read on this more than I can abide the sort of cowardly romance of Twisters. So if that's kind of the way we're weighing this, that's how I would go with it.
Well, plus I think in a world where right now we're kind of redefining what romantic comedies are a little bit because the landscape has changed, you know, so drastically for how many there are and the kinds that there are, I feel like this kind of fits into it. Cause like, you know, I think if we were doing this list, you know, several years ago, we probably wouldn't have any problem putting something like Pineapple Express or Superbad on these lists, you know, because those strike the same kind of like bromantic tone. And I think that this is definitely in that wheelhouse.
Would it make everybody feel better if I picked one more movie and we kept Deadpool and Twisters tabled for now?
I think you have enough support, Jacob, to put it on there. I don't know how high it'll be in the ultimate ranking, but I'm right there with Ryan in that I can definitely abide Deadpool and Wolverine being on the list over Twisters just because of like the interesting read of it versus the cowardly thing with Twisters. So I think you can go ahead and lock it in.
I'm going to lock it in. I'm locking it in.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. All right. So we made it through. We have six movies locked in. The Idea of You, The Fall Guy, Hitman, My Old Ass, Deadpool, Wolverine, Cora Bora. Twisters have been discussed, but not locked in. Films we have not discussed yet. Anora, Babes, Fly Me to the Moon, Hot Frosty, Lisa Frankenstein, Sweethearts, and Your Monster. Before, rather than go around again, I think we should take a look at this list, like a real hard look, and see if there's anything on this list that we straight up think, I like it, it won't make the list. Let's go ahead and scrape it off.
Okay, I got one.
What do you got?
I really, really, really like Sweethearts a lot as a movie. I think that the rom-com element of it is actually kind of the weakest aspect, because this movie is just a vehicle for Caleb Heron to prove that he's incredible. And so for that reason, I don't think that this needs to be on the list, but I do really like this movie. But yeah, this is Caleb's movie more than it is our romantic couple at the center.
I actually will second that, because I also really enjoyed Sweethearts, and it does hit a lot of what you would expect from a romantic comedy. And the only reason that I would maybe push for it, but I'm fine with it getting off, is the ending subverts entirely what you expect from a movie like this. And I won't get specific for anyone who wants to watch it, but it's really surprising and it's really refreshing. And so it doesn't take away its romantic comedy qualities necessarily, but I do think that it does maybe make it because the romantic relationship at the center of it isn't necessarily as strong as, you know, other movies. I think that that's probably fair to take it off the list.
And I've got one as well. I'm sorry, but you can't convince me that Fly Me to the Moon is a real movie. Like, its poster is like a 30 Rock ass looking poster. I don't know anyone who saw it. Like, unless
I
someone
saw
was
it, Nina.
You saw it? Okay, one person.
I saw it.
One person. But like,
I was actually going to try to argue for it, because I think it's one of the only remaining movies on this list that actually falls in the traditional rom-com definition. And considering all the wild stretches that we're doing to fit all these other movies into these categories, I think this one kind of like has to go in there by default, just because it hits those, it follows the formula so closely. And I think the chemistry between Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum was pretty great in the movie too.
Oh, I mean, no disrespect to those two. They're both great. I saw this poster and I went, that's not real. And I kind of moved on with my life. So I'll admit this is like a knee jerk reaction to like, what is this definitely fake movie that like the poster is in the background of a real movie. That's what it looked like.
It absolutely seems fake. I'll give you that. And like the fact that it was on Apple and got a small theatrical release and then just went straight to Apple TV Plus, a service that not a lot of people subscribe to, definitely means that it has absolutely zero cultural footprint. So I totally understand. But I just think in terms of the purposes for this list, I kind of think that it like has to be there. But I don't know. Did anybody else here even see this movie?
I haven't seen it yet, but I like a lot of the people in it. And from what I've heard from other people, it is a like true to form rom-com.
Yeah, I haven't seen this yet. I saw it just hit Apple TV Plus, so I was going to watch it soon, but I couldn't watch it in time for this recording. So I can't join in your defense, Ben.
Ben, if you like this movie, it's on the list. That's kind of how I feel, because you're right. It's a traditional rom-com. And because it's on the radar doesn't mean it should be ignored. And if you feel strongly that this belongs on here, then I'm going to say yes and put it on the list.
Is I desperately wanted to see this movie, but it wasn't in theaters for that long. But I think Greg Berlanti, who directed this, is, you know, he directed Love, Simon a handful of years ago, which is one of the better, you know, romantic movies of any kind I've seen in a very long time. So if there's even a fraction of that here, you know, I'm all in support of this making.
But don't forget, he's also the guy behind Riverdale. So there's a lot of ups and downs here.
Listen.
Yeah, I don't want to set the standard to be too high or expectations too high, because this movie is not going to like light anyone's world on fire. But I just think for this list, it makes a lot of sense.
All right, here's my question. Do we all actually like Hot Frosty, or is it just weird enough that we all appreciate it?
I genuinely like Hot Frosty, but I do think that we need to have the triple feature monster fucker conversation because Hot Frosty is a monster fucker movie. Sorry, he's a snowman. It is. So we have Lisa Frankenstein, Your Monster, and Hot Frosty. of those three, Hot Frosty is probably the most typical rom-com, especially when looking at like the Hallmark style of romantic comedy. But I will go to bat for Lisa Frankenstein. I like Your Monster more than most people, but I don't see that as a comedy. The only thing that is like comedic about it is the fact that he is a monster. But to me, this is very much like a romantic kind of gothic musical more than anything. Lisa Frankenstein is genuinely funny. Hot Frosty is genuinely funny. But I think Lisa Frankenstein is the better movie of the two. I love it so much. So that would be my vote of those three, personally.
So I...
Yeah, that's my vote too.
I'd also like to, so we only have to get rid of four of these movies because we're doing a top 10, right?
Yeah.
So I think if we're getting rid of Sweethearts, if we're getting rid of Hot Frosty, if we're getting rid of Your Monster, that leaves one more. And I was going to say the one that doesn't quite fit the bill, and I love this movie and I think it's very good, is Babes. Because Babes is not a romance. It is very funny, but the relationship between the two main characters is more of one that's kind of about, like, it's like a sisterly kind of relationship, and it makes them kind of family. And so while there's love between them, it's not romantic love. It's not even like,
I agree with you.
It's not even bromance like level with women, you know, and in sister form or anything. It is a pure platonic like family style relationship. And so I think we can cut Babes while still acknowledging it's very good and you should watch it.
Okay, quickly. So we're cutting Your Monster for sure.
Hold on. Yeah, have we? Because I have not. I'm not prepared to let Hot Frosty go just yet. Is everyone else going
to? I think Sweethearts and Your Monster have been cut. And it sounds like Twisters has been cut too. Do we all agree that those three are gone? I'm sorry. Sweethearts, Your Monster, and Twisters are all gone. Do we all agree on that?
Fine with that.
I'm okay with that.
Fine with that.
6, 7. Okay, that means that of Anora, Babes, Hot Frosty, Lisa Frankenstein, we got to lose one. Lisa Frankenstein's on the list. I feel like this list needs Lisa Frankenstein.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
I'm also going to go to bat for Anora being on the list, because if Pretty Woman is a rom-com, then Anora is a rom-com.
Oh, yeah, Anora should absolutely be on this list.
I think Anora is my favorite film of the year. I've talked about it at length. And I think that the beauty of Anora is that the first time through, you don't realize how romantic it is. And the second time through, every single scene with Igor and Anora is the most romantic thing of the whole damn year. And it's happening while things are being very, very funny. So for me, it qualifies.
Yeah, I loved Anora. I think it should definitely be on the list. Totally agree.
Ben, I know you were. I know you did not think Anora is a rom-com.
Are insane, is what I have to say. This is just insane. we've completely lost the plot here. I don't know. I mean, Anora is not a romantic comedy. I'm sorry. I mean, for the purposes of this conversation, I'll just nod and agree and move along. But like,
all right, I was prepared. Okay, no. Wait. Okay, I was just shutting up because I don't have the energy for a fight, and I thought if I was fighting everybody, but if Ben is on my side, I will speak up. Ben is 100% right. This is not a romantic comedy.
It's not even a 50-50 thing. The movie is straight up about the romance between them. It's a doomed romance, and whether it works, but you can tell that there's actually a genuine connection between them. That she comes to like him after he's first a client. He loves her as much as he can as this childish kid who probably doesn't really know what love is. It's definitely a romance. It's definitely a comedy. It's very, very good. It's going to be on his list.
But Brad, I argue that it's not even about Vasily. I think the romance is Anora and Igor.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Igor, that's the romance.
Oh, no, that aspect too, yes. Sorry.
It's just, you know, the romantic comedy, like Nina said in the beginning, has a very specific vibe to it. It has its own set of tropes and formulas and genre expectations. And I think my wife and I were talking about this because I showed her this list and we were just like sort of commiserating of like how poor of a year it was for rom-coms overall. And I was like, yeah, we're going to have to try to narrow this down to 10. And we were just talking about how we didn't really think a lot of these fit the bill. And she was like, okay, maybe a good definition for what a rom-com would be is, could you walk up to the writer and director of the movie and say with a straight face, hey, I really loved your rom-com. And like, think about what their reaction would be. And I just don't think that Sean Baker would. I mean, my feeling of what Sean Baker would think is irrelevant to this conversation. But I don't know. I was just thinking about that as a potential barometer for how this goes. And like, Anora is a drama. I'm sorry. I don't think it's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, there's very little romantic about either of the relationships in there in relation to Anora.
It's more of a thriller than a rom-com, even.
The core relationship is not romantic. It is money-based. It is gross.
But that's not the core relationship. You think it is, but the actual relationship is the one that's in the background. Like
and that is so not romantic. Like, that is.
I think it's incredibly romantic. And
you watch
the
movie again, you realize every single scene, he has eyes for her 5 minutes after he meets her, and every single scene he's in, he is looking at her, and he's obsessed with her, and he is, like, so deeply into her. And, like, his character has very few lines of dialogue. He's acting so much with his face and his eyes. But he is – it's staggeringly romantic. It's just not there front and center when you first watch it. It is a rewatch moment.
I also like to point out, if the money is the argument, then, like, what are you going to say about Pretty Woman?
That was my question.
Yeah,
that's
here's
a rom-com.
I'm, like, really going to push back on anybody calling this sort of relationship gross. That is moralizing sex work, and I am not a fan of that. But, like, this movie is so romantic to me, and it is absolutely Anora and Igor. And the comedy of it, I think, is so funny to me. And I'm going to steal a motto from my podcast and bring it here. I'm sorry if your life wasn't sad enough to find this funny. This is hilarious. This movie is so funny to me.
It's a very funny movie, and it has romantic elements to it. I'm not arguing that. I just think when you take a step back and look at the whole thing, it seems like more of a drama or even a thriller to me than a romantic comedy, which has like
the Golden Globes would disagree because they just put it in the comedy category.
Hold on. Nina, take that back, because the Golden Globes thing is that's going to weaken our argument.
No, that's why I just dropped that bomb and walked away.
Okay, I was going to make an argument for Babes at one point, but I think Babes is gone. How about Anora is the landmine here, but if we move Hot Frosty and Anora into the list. We have our 10, then we can order them however we want, and we can, Anora can be controversial for sure, but we have our 10 if we do that.
Yeah. I mean, I got what I want, I'm not complaining.
I think Ryan and I are outvoted on this one. I knew that Anora was going to make it into this list. I just had to, I couldn't sleep at night if I didn't make a case. So
I thought I was going to be the only one fighting against that, so I was just prepared to, just for the sake of length of the podcast, not bring it up. But, you know, since Ben was on my side, I thought that I would try to fight the good fight, but whatever.
Okay. I've taken our 10 movies. I've put them into a rough top 10, just so we have a place to start from, based on our reactions and our conversations. This is not binding. I'm going to put it in our Slack so you folks can see it, too. Let me go ahead and fill this radio full of dead air as I do that. I'll read it from 10 to 1. Like I said, and we can rearrange this how we see fit, but then but you guys tell me how you feel about this. Number 10, Cora Bora. Number 9, Fly Me to the Moon. Number 8, Hot Frosty. Number 7, My Old Ass. Number 6, Anora. Number 5, Lisa Frankenstein. Number 4, Deadpool and Wolverine. Number 3, Hitman. Number 2, The Fall Guy. Number 1, The Idea of You.
I think Hot Frosty and Deadpool and Wolverine should be lower on the list.
I think Fly Me to the Moon should be higher. I think My Old Ass should probably be a little lower, even though I love that movie, but just in terms of like that being more of a coming of age thing than a true rom-com. I don't know. I guess I'm, as the traditionalist on this episode, I'm thinking about the order in terms of like what represents or looks closest to the traditional model of a romantic comedy.
Yeah,
but if that's not going to be
three
the
is good.
If that's not going to be the guidance, then we can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, flip The Fall Guy and Hitman personally, so that Hitman would be above The Fall Guy, but I like that top three. But the other thing that I'm struggling with so much here is this idea of the traditional rom-com. Like, because yes, there are like barometers that I want to be able to play within, but also like the traditional rom-com is so exclusionary to so many different people's experiences with love. Most people are not meeting their partners at a meet cute in the supermarket anymore. They're meeting them on the fucking internet because they swiped on their photo and said, yeah, you're hot. And then surprise, we actually fall in love. Like the idea of traditional romance to me is just like, so it's become so boring that I am excited when there are like more interesting and creative ways to approach, like, what does it mean to fall in love? Like, that's why I love Anora so much, because yeah, the way that Anora and Igor fall in love, like, is so like that's so atypical. That's not a tradition, but who's to say what makes somebody's romance, you know, more valid than the other, because we're following tradition or because we figured out how to find, you know, love and companionship in a world that is so incredibly hostile towards all of us. So I struggle because at the same time, it's like, but we have tropes and formulas for a reason. So it's like, I have two conflicting ideologies going on right now.
Yeah. I tend to think too, that like just because a movie fits into other genres or subgenres does not automatically preclude it from being defined as romantic comedy, which is why I think movies like My Old Ass and Anora, despite fitting into the coming of age template or the thriller kind of template, doesn't mean that they're also not romantic comedies.
How do you feel about this? Number 10, Cora Bora. Number 9, My Old Ass. Number 8, Hot Frosty. Number 7, Fly Me to the Moon. Number 6, Anora. Number 5, Deadpool and Wolverine. Number 4, Lisa Frankenstein. Number 3, The Fall Guy. Number 2, Hitman. Number 1, The Idea of You.
That looks pretty good to me.
I'm happy.
Save for wanting Anora at 10, but whatever.
Right, it's okay. Yeah, You're allowed to be wrong and loud about it. It's cool.
That's the only reason I'm still here, BJ. Let it go.
That's what this is for.
And guess what? The Idea of You is at number 1, and it's not that funny, so can it?
I was waiting for Brad to attack me just once. There it is.
We'll say we have the only internet where Deadpool Wolverine will be placed before Anora, so in any capacity. So,
you know what? Actually, you know what? I'm gonna make one suggestion, and not because this is not out of spite for Ryan, even though it might seem like it is. I think Hitman should be number 1.
I also think Hitman should be number 1, and I was struggling with saying that. Yeah, I do. Especially because I think that I think Hitman's funnier, but both Hitman and Idea of You do stick to the very traditional rom-com structure of, like, something goes wrong between, like, act 2 and 3 of the movie. You know, because for most of Hitman, she thinks that she's dating an actual murderer until it all blows up. So I also would put Hitman at number 1.
All right, let me copy and paste this, and we'll see how we feel when we see it written out. Do we have strong feelings about this new list with Idea of You and Hitman swapped?
Yeah, this is tough because I kind of was on Ryan's side with Idea of You being number 1, but Nina, I think, might have just convinced me that structurally Hitman actually falls
funnier.
Within that traditional component.
Oh, this is much funnier.
It is funnier. So I was just going to say, I like the Idea of You more than Hitman personally as a movie, because I think everybody seemed to love Hitman and I was just kind of like lukewarm on it. But I think for the purposes of this list, I think it actually makes more sense at number 1. I'm sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, this is difficult because this is the one area where Ryan and I were in alignment. But now that I'm seeing it written out, I'm like, no, that's right. That's correct.
Guys, I'll make this easy on everybody. It wouldn't be a Slash Film End of the Year list if I didn't leave very upset. So let's go ahead and just
We really need to, like, send you an edible arrangement at some point.
Or just an edible.
All right. So one more time for posterity to folks at home. Number 10, Cora Bora. Number 9, My Old Ass. Number 8, Hot Frosty. Number 7, Fly Me to the Moon. Number 6, Anora. Number 5, Deadpool and Wolverine. Number 4, Lisa Frankenstein. Number 3, The Fall Guy. Number 2, The Idea of You. Number 1, Hitman. Easily one of the most contentious lists we've ever had, slashfilm.com. And I'm very happy with this, folks. I'm very happy with, even without Twisters, my beloved Twisters didn't make it, but it's number 11, so that's all that matters. We did it, folks. We did it. In a very bad year for rom-coms, we made a very weird list.
I can't wait to see what people have to say about it. They're going to be very normal.
The last thing I wanted to say is, like, I don't think we mentioned this at any point, but and I don't think this is like a new observation or anything, but I think the traditional rom-coms that we grew up with have migrated over to TV for the most part. Like, Abbott Elementary is probably the best romantic comedy of 2024.
Oh my God, there's no question.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And And then you've got like stuff like English Teacher that kind of stretches the boundaries a little bit of the genre.
Nobody wants this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so
I just finished binging Shrinking, and that show is like incredibly romantic and funny. Yeah. So.
So yeah, while it may not have been a great year for rom-coms on the big screen, there's definitely some stuff on the small screen that I think would fill that gap for people or whatever. So
I'll write the intro of this list explaining, hey, we know this is a weird list. Don't yell at us.
Good luck.
Other than that, we'll get this list live on slashfilm.com and people will screenshot it and yell at us and do what they do on the internet. But you know what? We showed our homework. If they are at all curious, they can listen to this hour of us yelling about why Anora is on this list alongside Lisa Frankenstein and Deadpool and Wolverine. Ben, do you want to get us out of here?
All right, let's do it. That's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about a lot of the movies that we mentioned on the show at slashfilm.com. I'll try to link to a couple things in the show notes as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.